July 28, 2021. This program is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise, LLC, Miraj Speak, Block Talk Radio, where we teach Quranic Arabic, Islamic studies, and comparative religion. Pardon me. Not just religion. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. As-salam alaykum, which means peace be on you. I'm your host for this evening, Ilahi Day. My topic this evening is Al-Islam, the tafsir of Imam Warhiddin Muhammad, commentary of the Holy Quran. If you have missed any of the talks, go online to www.blogtalkradiomiradspeech.com and you'll be able to listen to the talks that you have missed. Once again, we will open with a short dua, and then we will continue where we left off last Thursday. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wassalatu wassalamu ala Rasulihi al-Kareem Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mubarak. The Quran, Surah 23, Ayat 1 to 11. And 91 to 9. Bukhari, Volume 8, 453, page 453. Prophet reached its contentment of the soul. So if we strive to please Allah, we are assured success. This doesn't mean that you're going to be rich or if you want money and business, but you are assured success. It's not always the rich person who is successful. Sometimes his wealth destroys his family, himself, may land him in jail or get him killed. If I get all the money in the world and I am in hell mentally, then I am in my soul, I am not successful. The guarantee is that you are going to be pleased. The Quran, Surah 23, Ayah 6, marriage. As a result of the violent clashes, Muslims had many captives. Amongst those captives would be women. Some of them favored the religion of Al-Islam, though they were raised as pagans and believers in idol worship. The Muslims were permitted to take wives from amongst those women if they so desired to marry a Muslim man. The Quran, Surah 23, Ayat 12 to 14, 1 Corinthians 14, 4 to 5, speak in tongues. Clay man's form means you had no power to resist God. God told us in the Quran how he makes and how he gets out of that original make, and he shows us again how to get back into it. He says he began your creation from something no more than clay. What is meant by this clay? Clay is manageable material. Clay is agreeable material. So God did not take any disagreeable material, no stubborn, rebellious, arrogant material when he wanted to set about making his human being. He picked something like clay, meaning that when he started from you to form you, you had no power to resist him. You were unformed and you had no mind of your own. You could not question. You could not resist. You didn't have anything to use to question with. The Quran says that the angel said, "Oh God, we have no knowledge except what you give us." Iblis from fire, by my faculty, burning the midnight oil. But Satan said, "I refuse to bow, God. I'm better than what you are asking me to bow to. You created me from black. You created him from black mud, fashioned into shape, and you created me from fire." He was created from something like fire, meaning, "I have come into my form by rational activity, I have been burning my faculties, burning the midnight oil. I have been thanking God and figuring out things for myself. I have come up with a civilized order for society. I came up the hard way. Now, do you want me to bow down to somebody just because they are morally right, just because they are spiritual? God, I don't want to bow to something made of earth and fashioned into earthly shape, but does not have a powerful rationale, not lit with the power of reasoning, logic, etc. He did not come through the struggle like I did, beating my way through the wilderness, conquering the soil, the water, the vegetation, the animals, and even brought the angels under my power. God, I am the keeper of these angels. Don't you see now that electricity, magnetism, heat, and all the other forms of energy invisible behind those things are now in my control? God, don't you see that? Even intelligence bows to me, that even human nature bows to me, that even human spirit bows to me. This thing that you're going to pick is something beneath me, something that I will have to carry along like a baby. I have to give it civilization, food, clothing, shelter, schools, and et cetera. Now you are going to ask me to now bow down to this cheap, black, stinky mud thing? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, when I have breathed into him of my spirit, bow down to him. And if you don't like it, get out of here. God said, get down from here. So Allah's breath is a sign in creation and scripture. So we have been thinking that God said, woo, blowing, and man stood up. No, indeed. God said, let me tell you about your creation from clay. Let me tell you how I brought you from clay to thick water. God began preaching scientific facts of creation and human nature through his prophet, prayers, and the peace be upon him, through his divine science in creation. That was his burden. God, man says, I used to be stinky mud, fashioned into shape. Now I'm sweet smelling. The mud has turned into a mere state, has turned into a clear morality, a clean morality, pardon me. You still see the same old physical form, but you better bow down because God has ordered it. He says, from liking it or disliking it, you have to bow. So man from clay, sperm, clot, bone, flesh. So Tesla is David. Tesla is clay. So he says he began the creation of the human being from something no more than clay. Then he formed a semen drop, thick water, the germ of life, from the male that goes into the female. He formed him from a thick water semen drop, nystagmus. When he looked at that semen drop, it looked foggy but pretty clear. So we can see sparks are all in it. So the world has taught us to look at that as filth. Don't even think semen drops that is filthy, sinful. But God says, look, you're talking about a stage in your development. That is not the first base. In fact, it is the second up, the ladder. The lowest that I accepted was something like clay, meaning something that had no mind or knowledge to resist or to question with, and had nothing but the nature God had given it. So when knowledge came, it just obeyed. Isn't this the nature of babies? Clay in Arabic is tefla. Baby in Arabic is tefla. So the two words have the same basic letter, TFL. So you see, when the book says he created the human being from something like clay to those people who received it first, it meant I created you from a baby, from a child who had no knowledge to rebel, no knowledge to stand up and challenge with. you could do no more than just accept it and come into form. So this is what God is saying, because the baby is like clay. So we take that clay and we make any shape we want out of it. Clay in dictation is symbolic of reminders. We can make it soft, which means soft in the society, and somebody speaks to its politeness. We can make it hard, and somebody speaks to it, and it asks, "Who in the hell are you talking to?" Then somebody comes with a hammer, and the clay just falls all apart and can't be put back together. But that soft clay, they can come with a hammer, and it leaves an indentation. It did not break it up. He remembered. That indentation is a reminder, a sign. Don't do that again now. You don't want a whole lot of indentations all over you. That hard one, you can't correct it. You can't discipline it. You hit him and he breaks up, crumbles down, and you have to throw that clay out. What you going to do with that clay? You can't do anything with it. So sperm is like water, but cloudy, represents the world's mind. The Quran says, and from clay or from the baby nature, he made us something like water, but cloudy. So when we come out of that, the baby state, and begin to learn something of the world, the mind that was clear gets cloudy. Now, a mind has been formed. First, we were dealing with nature. The mind had not been formed. Now we are not dealing with the nature. The flesh was good. Was there anything wrong with the flesh? That is what the Holy Quran is telling us. Don't you see that I make babies and they do that? Have anything wrong with them? They are flesh. But once mind starts to form in them, then you start having problems because you put the wrong things in their minds. So their minds are kind of foggy. I give them a kind of foggy mind from the start because I want them to grow into the light so they will appreciate it. But I never block out all the light. I just a few areas foggy. So when you take over their mind, then you begin to let that keep on going. So after making the clay, then it says a semen drop, a drop of thick water fluid or little light germ from the male body, that kind of foggy, but yet you can see through it, it is transparent. Then he says he put it lodged in a place of rest. Where is that place of rest? It is in the mother's care. When does the baby rest? He or she rests when it is in mother's arms. So God gives that semen drop to mama. So we think he is talking about the womb of the mother, from the male organ of the man to the womb of the woman. We think it means just reading it literally. The womb of the woman, but it means he put it into her charge. And in her charge, that child is at rest. He nurses on his mother's breast. He sleeps in his mother's lap. She, by nature, has been designed to give him the proper care. If nobody interferes with the nature, it is going to develop to a high state. Clot of blood means some knowledge is in the mind. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that a clot of blood. Now, we think of this being in the mother's womb again. That form, the semen drop, science tells us, that drop becomes a clot of blood. Not a clot of blood as such, but his mind is growing now in it, is no more transparent. Some objects have gotten into his mind. So when his mother first received him, there was no object in his mind. It was just a little fogginess, the absence of knowledge. But his mind was pure like water, clear. But then with his mother, as he stayed there in that place of rest, it begins to take on ideas from the society. These ideas from the society makes it a clot of blood, meaning that it now it has human life. Blood is called the life. So human life is not the physical body's life. Life here means knowledge from the human mind has come into the child's mind and has brought the birth to a human mind. Is that in that child? Before that child received that knowledge of our human society, it did not have a human mind. It just had a mind. And that mind was submissive and agreeable with truth. And not only that, with kindness. I do that, care how ugly babies look or how irritable it seems to be when it comes from its mother's womb. We can get a pleasant response from that baby. The little baby smiles and has no teeth, but it shows us those gums. Sometimes this smile just can't hardly stop smiling. So what we learn from us that he can smile about? Nothing. Why is he smiling? Because God put it in his nature. God made flesh beautiful, submissive, kind, and loving. He did not make it sinful. But we begin to feed our crazy walk, distorted, lying, false ideas, then the child takes on an ugly nature. So you are going to be a little wild, but you are going to be better off. I assure you, will be stronger. You think you know where the power is in this. No, the power is in God's guidance. You want power, just sit here and listen, and you will have power. So blood, the life of the body. Mind is the life of your flesh. Brain dead legally, though life is in the body. So he tells us in the Quran, after a clot of blood, after we have taken an idea from the society, where does the blood come from? The blood comes from the flesh of our parents, of people. This means that the life of the body, the Bible says blood is the life of the body. So the life of your flesh is your mind. Your mind moves your body. So when your mind becomes dead, they usually take a brainwave test, ECG, and if they doesn't see any signs of activity in your brain, though your body is still alive, they call you legally dead. So unlike talking about the physical blood, God is using. So these things to show us signs of a higher knowledge that he is pointing us to. And it is divine because these things speak perfectly the higher wisdom. So if God can trace your growth from beginning to where you are right now and where you should be and show you into physical things that have taken place in perfect sequence or in perfect order, that these things speak perfectly the reality that are in your life. So John 1:1, in the beginning there was the Logos, the Word. The Word took on flesh means divine logic took on your fleshly ignorance. Now, isn't that a proof? They're talking about proof. Can religion be validated? Is religion empirical knowledge? Can religion be logically substantiated? You fool you. It is more powerful than any of the logic you have ever heard of or ever will give up. In fact, your logic is non-logic. In the beginning, there was the Logos. It is all logic. Yours is graphic logic. So the Bible says, in the beginning, there was the Word. Word is Logos. Logos, if it's from Word, it says, then the Word took on flesh. And the divine logic took on your fleshly ignorance. It had to bring your flesh up into, took on means to take on responsibility for something or to challenge. If I take on Muhammad Ali, then it means I challenge him. If I take on a problem, it means I challenge the problem. I'm going to solve it. Try to anyway. So if I take on the responsibility, it means I am going to carry it. So the Bible says in the beginning was the Word. And the Word took on flesh, meaning that it challenged flesh to make growth. I'm going to have to go to fight flesh. I want you to have some more muscles. Not only that, it took on the burden of flesh. I know you are nothing but Teflon, baby, something like clay, but I'm going to push you until you become a semen drop and carry you until you become a clot of blood. It says that the Word has taken on flesh. It means God in divine truth and his message had the Word of real truth, real logic. Peter slump means the mind, then giving thoughts of somebody else. So he comes into our flesh and begins bringing our mind up to a high form. Then a clot of blood, and after that, a fetus lump. So what is a fetus lump? A fetus lump is a clot of blood that has grown into a flesh lump. It is more than just blood now, but it is still unstructured. So what is this referring to now? So we mentioned the clay. We mentioned the semen drop, but put then the semen drop been put or lodged in a place of rest into the mother's charge. Now the clot of blood is formed, meaning that the idea of human society, the life out of the body, our mind is fed into that new child and give him that same blood, the same life. Now after that, God says he then makes a fetus lump, and science tells us that this is exactly true for the stage of physical development in the mother's womb. So the fetus lump, what is it referring to? Now, fetus lump here means here that mind has been given thoughts or the blood of the body of somebody else. So when those thoughts come into our mind and they're just going through the mind, but after a while, as a child, I begin to think I know. So when I begin to think I know, that means I have been formed as a fetus lump. It is not fluid anymore. It is not running unformed. It is not blood anymore as clot or a thought that is just in the body, but it is a thought now that has taken on something in me. Fetus lump is flesh. My own flesh now is with this thought from outside. So it means that now I have begun to come under the thought from outside. It comes into me. Now I begin to form in the likeness of what I was taught. I have accepted society's knowledge that it has given me. So now I speak like you speak. So speak in tongues. Bone building is an edifice, and divine truth is edifying. So bones ain't law, but this is not enough. God says out of the fetus lump, bones, it is not enough for me to talk like you talk. I have your mind, and I'll be formed too. It is a clot of flesh, not the blood that you can just easily wipe up the blood up. Blood clot, but it is clot. You can't wipe it up. But that fetus lump is flesh already. You can't do that. So the thought I have been put into the child so long, you can't take it out that easily. You have to tear the flesh up and kill the thing. But God doesn't want it like this. It says he caused in the flesh bones to grow. And this is true in science. Your bones don't form before your flesh. Flesh forms, then bones in the flesh. So what does this mean? When we speak of a structure, we call it edifice. And when we speak of logical structuring God's truth as a logic argument, we call it edifying. So in the New Testament, Paul says there is one thing to have the Holy Ghost, and there is another thing to have power edification. So the bones come in the means now. It means now I have learned how to defend my mind that I've gotten from the world. I can reason by myself now. I know how to put the law of argument in structure. I can form a premise and then begin defending it by establishing this particular proposition and that particular proposition, and finally I structured my argument. So I have become an argument now. God made me a Tesla, a baby, that did not argue. But now I have become an argument. I think I know, saying, don't tell me. That doesn't mean that. That does not have to be the right because you say so. Can you prove it? So I have bones now. Another meaning of bones in Scripture is law. Why does it also mean law? Because the law of logic is the law. So the argument that you give, you are following directions of certain things. You call laws of reasoning. So society then takes on laws, and they call them laws for society. But the law for the individual is the law of reasoning or his own logic. So that is his own private law or his own private skeleton or his own private edifice that holds up his flesh. Some says, I have to defend myself. Don't tell me so-and-so. I have more sense than that. I can defend my own self. So thought is fluid. Flesh means my knowledge. Bones is logic. So he means I can uphold my own flesh. What is the flesh? The flesh means that which is with you, that has been given form and has no power of itself. So it is not mind, it is not thought. Thought is fluid. Mind is like a liquid body of law, but flesh is something that has taken on form. So my edifying ability or my logic or my reasoning holds up my knowledge. So flesh means my knowledge. So my flesh is my knowledge. So I can defend my knowledge, means that I can hold up my knowledge with my argument, with my so-called logic. So bones are formed in the flesh. Logos, or logic, or rational argument, has formed in my knowledge. So thought comes together seasoned and mature to make knowledge. So you see, from blood to flesh, and then in knowledge, with knowledge we learn how to defend that body of knowledge. And the ability to defend that body of knowledge is called logic or reasoning. And that particular body of argument is the bone for the flesh that upholds the knowledge. It says, Thumma kalikin akhira, which means then another creation or a new creation. So after we have been made or created like this and have come into bones, where we think we know everything. I can uphold my own. My flesh won't fall down like a lump. I can hold it up like a man. So the bones are in there now. The flesh is structured upright. So my lump will not fall down. I have bones in my lump. I can uphold my flesh. After you get like that and think you know everything, God says, then a new creation. He has to create you all over again. You crazy, stubborn blockhead. You have the wrong understanding. You ask, how is God going to do this? How can God create me again? He said, he who formed you the first time is most powerful to do it again. So didn't he create babies on earth? And didn't he form society naturally before this world went crazy and have all these weird, inhuman ideas? He knows how it is supposed to populate and build up. He knows how the edifice is to produce, pardon me, he knows how to edify is to produce the edifice. So the Quran, Surah 24, Ayah 35, lamp in a glass. So the prophet has worked on obeying God so long until there is no effort to obey. Obedience has become the nature of that person. So the morals are not like water that needs a container equals discipline. So there is no container needed. It has already taken itself the discipline. So if their glass it holds that shape, and nothing takes it out of unless you destroy the glass. But water is shaky. It has to have something to hold it constantly. Glass, you can move it about. It keeps the same shape. The high moral character of Prophet Muhammad is described, nur as glass, pure, refined, clear glass that shows clearly the light. So his character is no more like water needed, constant work on it to keep it right, or constantly hold it in check. His morals had become like glass, thick as God wanted them to be. So Prophet had attained that degree of moral control wherein he didn't have to constantly work on his morals. So the Quran, Surah 24, Ayah 35, Allah, light of sky and earth. The Quran, Surah 33, Ayah 46, Prophet as a lump, Sarajin Magnirum, Psalms 23:5, anoint my head with oil, my cup runneth over. So light, John 9:5, Jesus light of the world, as long as I am in the world. So we have heard that God is the light of the heavens and the earth, and we have heard that Jesus is the light. But here it is very clear that a man is not the light. The prophet is not the light, but the prophet is a means for adding that light, aiding the transmission of that light to those that is meant for. So just as the lamp set in the niche, and the niche itself helps distribute the light or diffuses the light, so this vessel is still telling us that a man is not the light of God, but a man in his character may help as a reflection or reflector of what God has given of his light. If his character is right, his character will help reflect. Blessed tree, not east nor west, is universal knowledge. So where is the tree? Is this tree in Sinai? Is this tree in Bethlehem? Is this tree in Mecca? A blessed tree, neither east nor west. A blessed tree, neither east nor west. So what is God's knowledge? Is God's knowledge to be found in Mecca? Is it to be found in Jerusalem? Is it to be found in Africa and in Egypt? No. It is a tree that is not limited to east nor west. It is a tree that is universal knowledge. So God has blessed us with universal knowledge. So his knowledge is universal. It is not limited to a race or to a nation. His knowledge is universal. His light is universal. His light covers both the spiritual realm and the material realm. So his knowledge is not a knowledge that addresses spiritual matters and ignore material matters. His knowledge includes both the material realm and the spiritual, earth and the sky. So where is that knowledge? A parable of it is that the tree blessed by God of the tree is the essence of substance, oil, the essence of trees. So the tree itself is wood. So the fruit is an olive. So the shriners, they went to Africa, to Egypt, for the light. And they went west to Egypt. Egypt is west. They went west for the light. East represents by China and India. And there are some who go to India and China for the light. That's going east for the light. Mecca is central. It is not in the east nor in the west. So West Africa is East Asia. So west is Africa. East is Asia. Mecca is Mideast. It's between east and west. Mecca sits between east and west. So in the symbolic way, Mecca represents that is not east nor west, but the light is itself is universal. So if God says it is not east nor west, he means that it cannot be found in any locality isolated from his creation. The knowledge extends over the whole creation. The knowledge is universal. So Jesus said, I am the light as long as I am in the world. He said that, nevertheless, I must go away. Is that right? Okay, so Jesus said that I am the light as long as I am in the world, meaning that when I die, I am not the light no more for you. So that's not a good parable of God's light. So it is not used in the Quran. Allah doesn't say in the Quran a parable of God's light is Prophet Muhammad, or a parable of God's light is Christ Jesus. No, a parable of God's light is the creation itself. So class is conscience, morals of prophet. So the glass of the lamp helps represent the good conscience. So the moral, the high moral refinement of the prophet himself. So the glass, it doesn't reveal something, hide something, and reveal something untruthful. Clear glass shows exactly what's behind it. So the prophet's conscience and his nature was clear. So what God revealed to him came out and reflected perfectly as he received it. So his very character was an aid for the diffusion or message of knowledge that he received. His very character was a means for conveying light. So the nature is called character. So when we speak of the nature of the inner person or the mind, the personality, the conscience, the morals, moral makeup of the person, we speak of that nature. We call it character. So when it goes bad, we say he has bad character, you see? But we are talking about the nature. So Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, had the best nature. His had been made right. So right, that is nature, became the supreme example for all other humans to follow. So conscience, his very nature, was as a clear glass that reflects the light of God without any impediment or disruption or corruption, nothing blocking the way of God's light. So this is the light of God, and a lamp setting in the niche, a prophet setting amongst them, and he himself has been so turned, a final turn, so finely turned to the will of God, to the God's revelation, that his reflection of God's knowledge as though glass, clear glass, is bringing it to the people. And the people, as the niche, receives it, and they diffuse it outward. So that's the whole community, the whole society gets a bit of that light. People being addressed by the light of God through a prophet whose moral nature and character is so fine, so finely tuned by what God commanded, that he is no obstruction. He is no obstruction. That's not part of his being, is a hindrance to obstruct the guidance or the light of God. that comes to him as a messenger. So this is the beautiful signs of that light. So the light without the glass, it doesn't diffuse nicely. But when God puts a clear glass about the light diffuses nicely, and the heat is contained in the glass. So the light and the heat are diffused evenly because of the glass. So it's necessary for us to have the right consciousness, the right moral makeup, the right moral character. So if we don't have this, then somebody will get burnt. But if there is a glass, their hand and hit the glass and won't directly to the fire. So the character should be separated from the fire and yet be fitting from the fire. Is that right? So here, character now surrounding the fire. Fire is burning within the character. In other words, knowledge is coming into my own mind, but my character is protecting that knowledge. And that knowledge is shining through my character. So the knowledge shouldn't come through my intellect to you. It should come through my character to you. So oil refused the knowledge. So the oil itself without fire to it appears to have light. The oil itself appears to have light. So here oil is referring to the knowledge. So this is knowledge. The knowledge is the oil, and that clear liquid is inflammable. It burns a clear burning, not a cloud of black smoke, dust, choking stuff, clear burning. Oil burns clear, no impediments in it. So the oil is transparent. You can't look through the tree. You can't look through the olive, but the oil is transparent. So which means that it is admits understanding. It admits vision, perception, oil, being clear, means that God revealed it will show up other things. If I put an olive in a cup of olive oil, I can see the olive in the olive oil. And then if there is darkness and a light, the olive, the light will show me what is in the dark. Is that right? So the oil has power to show what is in it. If it is not pure, not right, or if it has matter, gross matter, it will show up in the oil. Gross matter will show up in the oil. But the oil also has the ability to give off light. So if there is a darkness, the light, the oil has the ability, the power to give off light and show us what is hidden by that darkness. So this is the way God's light is. The purity of light is seen in the very essence of the knowledge itself. Pure knowledge doesn't show us trees, fruit, and night, 175-pound man, blue garment, a red sheet, a white sheet. True knowledge doesn't show us that. Surface knowledge shows us that. True knowledge shows us the essence of truth. The essence of truth, the true knowledge strips gross matter, grossness, and shows us one universal light or one universal knowledge. So matter, energy, so this matter, what is it? What is this fruit? The fruit is matter that is formed because of certain activity, growth. And the matter is composed of certain particles, small particles, and certain charges. So when we begin to strip this fruit down, eventually we make this fruit transparent. Eventually, we make that fruit transparent. We will reduce the fruit to what? Energy. And energy is invisible, isn't it? So what is matter? Matter is energy. So energy you cannot see. So if we reduce matter down to its finest or lowest denominator or lowest state of pure state, we won't have gross matter anymore. We will have energy. So God's light is like transparent, meaning that God's light holds the knowledge for understanding the gross matter. With God's knowledge, you can understand the gross matter. You can remove the veil of the fruit and see its essence of transparency. So you can remove the veil of the 175-pound man and see his essence or transparency. You can remove the veil of the gross matter and see its essence. Its essence is transparent. So fire is understanding. So the fire is the understanding, the knowledge that we get out of the knowledge. And you can't get that without applying your intelligence. When you apply your intelligence, then there is a friction, an activity between what you're studying, and that activity helps bring light to your own mind. Is that right? And the light that comes from the oil is not touching. The light is not touching the oil. The fire is not even touching the oil. So there is a space between the oil and the fire. So the fire there represents the activity in the human mind. The activity in the human cannot touch God's revealed truth, meaning you can influence it with your own thinking. Your thinking will not influence it. You cannot come in touch with it. You must get it from a distance. There must be a space that keeps you out of influencing the knowledge, and that space that keeps you out from influencing that knowledge keeps the knowledge right, and it keeps you right, and it keeps you human, and keeps the knowledge divine. But some people want to be in the fire. They don't want to get the light from the fire. They want to become the fire. That's not the way God did it. The oil, the essence of truth, it will give us light. If we apply our intelligence, then there will become a flame. So the flame is fed by the oil. The activity of our own intelligence is fed by what God has revealed. But our activity is not in direct contact with it. We must get it from a distance. So what is that distance? We may call it many things. But what distance represents in one word, faith. Faith. Faith stands between us and what we are studying. And if you eliminate that faith, then you come into the fire. And baby, it will burn you up. But as long as you have faith in what has been revealed, you don't come into the fire to influence it. That is, pardon me. You don't come into the oil, not the fire. Correction. You don't bring your own intelligent activity in the oil to influence the oil. Your own activity is separated from the oil by a space of faith. So the Quran, Surah 2, Ayah 79, changed scripture. So the disbelievers, they changed the book. Those that don't have the right faith, they changed the book. They changed the oil. And the oil lost its original value. And then it can't produce a good flame for the world. Yes, this is the parable of God's light. So Nietzsche. So the Nietzsche itself also works to cast the light in the room. It helps spread throughout the room. So the glass reflects the light, helps throw it out too. So here we have light that is receiving help to be spread evenly throughout the room. So the Nietzsche helps. The glass helps. And the people, as the Nietzsche receives it, and they diffuse it outward so that the whole community, the whole society gets a bit of that light. So the Quran, Surah 25, Ayah 6, Allah made night, day to follow each other. The Quran, Surah 57, Ayah 28, double portion of mercy. 2 Kings 29, double portion of spirit. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says he made the night and the day to follow each other in succession. That is in the Quran. So the expression darkness in quotation refers to concrete objects. So in the long trial of history, man relied upon his intelligence while being under the fear and awe induced in him by objects in the universe. So many other figures in the composition of the world, including man himself, has been worshipped mistakenly as God. So the same Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who created concrete existence created the human brain, the human heart, for his mercy, freedom from the dominance of the concrete world is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants for us. It is one of the two divine mercies given and promised to us in the Holy Scripture. A second statement we are listening here is given in these words, Islam is freedom, justice, and equality. So emotional mind likes leaf floating. The Quran Surah 25, Ayah 23, deeds like floating dust. And we shall turn to whatever deed they did in this life. And we shall make such deeds as floating dust scattered about. So your mind is like a floating leaf in the wind. Whatever pushes you emotionally decides where you will be. You come to the masjid and you get an emotional push, and it pushes you for a while. But as soon as you run into something else, another wind pushes you, and we find that you are far away from where you were when we left you, because you have given yourself to emotional forces, emotional influences. So you don't have any good rational sense. You don't have any rational concepts, any rational ideas. Is that ruling in your life? So you need a logical principle ruling in your life to survive this world. No one cares about you but Allah. And if it wasn't for myself, giving myself completely to Allah, I wouldn't care about you. I would be just like you, caught in the wind of the influence in the society. So human life proper with morals. Human life can't prosper without moral vision. If you want to be successful in the business world, don't you have to have some objects, some goals to reach for? Don't you have to have some business vision to be successful materially? To be successful in the business world, we are basically, by human description, we are moral beings, moral creatures. You can be as wrong as you want to be. That doesn't mean that that's your nature. Your nature is not to be wrong. Your nature is to be right. And you are going against the grain when you are being wrong. None of us can be angels, perfect, without any defect, without flaws, without any sin. Your imam sin. I commit sin. I'm not an angel. I am not a perfect being. But my path is not towards sin. My path is towards Allah. And when I sin, it is because I have a weakness, because of ignorance on my part. And because I am that way, Allah loves me, and he will hurt me. He will trip me up. He will let me know that I went wrong, because he know I can be corrected. And when I know I've gone wrong, I say, oh, Allah, forgive me for that mistake. Forgive me for that ignorance. Forgive me for that sin. Forgive me for that selflessness on my part. Forgive me for that. Oh, Allah, I want to obey you. And Allah accepts the prayers of forgiveness, no matter where it comes from. The greatest sinner on this earth, if he prays sincerely for forgiveness. Allah accepts that prayer, and then Allah gives him help, give you help. I don't have the high credentials of the high class, people of the world. That is the institutional credentials. I don't have any credentials from any institution. No. Grade schools, high schools, I've given any credentials. Some people think I went to Al-Azhar, Egypt, to the school. I never went there, no to school. I am a product of your school. Your children go to Clara Muhammad School. That's the school I went to, except for 3 hours credit in English and a couple of courses, about 6 hours, and a couple of other courses, about 6 hours, and a couple of other courses. I have not schooling outside of this school. Simple fact of your life, that if you understand them and respect them and live by them, you can be successful, not only you, but this nation would hear what I'm saying. It could come back to its good senses. So morals can't be right as filthy coward to that influence. So the more moral truthful, morals can be false morals, can be lies, can be corruption. Morals are right and wrong. Morals are filthy and clean. Some people have filthy morals, others clean morals. Some have right morals, others corrupt morals. So just the mere use of the word moral doesn't make a thing right. Morals is only a word that it brings to mind right and wrong. The more morals, truthful our vision becomes, the more secure life becomes for us. It is as simple as that. I want to repeat that because if you can remember these few words, you will have the essence of religious truth. The more moral truthful your wisdom becomes, don't you know we like to build ourselves, blind ourselves? The reason why most of us can't see is because we don't want to see. And the reason why we don't want to see is because we are too much a victim of bad influences that give them up. In other words, we are weak. We have been beaten down by bad influences. We have been made a coward to bad influences. We have become a junkie to bad influences. So since we can't muster up enough strength to throw off the bad influences, we want to justify carrying bad influences. So the Quran, Surah 26, Ayat 7, God made everything in noble path. Culture's strongest element is true educational sciences. Inheriting the desert is reference for Hagar, and her children were not going to have any in educating servant people inherit our culture. Go make your own. So start your own culture, just like going to a desert. There's nothing born there yet. So the desert has been used as a symbol for the absence of cultural development in our democracy. Culture is more than just entertainment, beautiful environments with flowers and stuff. The strongest element of culture is the true educational science, because it is usually the science and the education based in reality that improves the culture of a people. Take on new growth. You go up into the north, read the letters, sunlight. There is not much light up there, is it? So you do not go there to find all of the beautiful flowers and luxurious farmland that you find in the warm zone. So up there is the pole. You expect to find the absence of that And it is because of the sun. They get little sunlight up there. Long periods of night, short periods of sunlight. Sunrise is like the birth of the sciences. So the birth of the sciences is like a sunrise. And in time, the sunlight favors that area, produces just so many different kinds of growth, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, beautiful pairs and beautiful relationships, not just with each other, but relationships, content is community, life for human beings. So in relationships to the other, beautiful growth, political, politics included, don't they all support each other? Beauty in the physical environment, spiritual and soul, the spirit and the nature of the human soul. And it gives beauty to the landscape, the rich and the poor, light, it in the high up, in the low people, on the ground. Gross grass root like it likes it, and it just forms relationships. And all of these contribute to our good social life as citizens. So the water that God addresses when he tells us how he started growth, everything had its beginning in water. And Genesis said, in the beginning there was the darkness, and the Spirit moved along the face of the water. And the things started to happen, right? So what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Muhammad, praise and peace be upon him, behind that, a few centuries afterwards, was tied right into that. But instead of saying, in the beginning that was darkness, and giving that same story, it said everything living had its beginning in water. So water is darkness, land is light. Sadaqallahu al-Azim, surely Allah speaks the truth. We will continue this tomorrow at 7 p.m., inshallah. It only means if it please God. We thank New Africa Excellent Murad Speaks for allowing us to come before you once again, and we thank you, our honorable listening audience. May God guide us and have mercy on us and bless us with the light of understanding. As I greet you in the Arabic language, Assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you, and thank you for listening.